Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hi, this is Kevin Burke of Rachel's Vineyard Ministries. Welcome to Oceans of Mercy. Friends, we have a very special program today. The message of our guest, Christine Watkins, will really be a life-changing experience for many of you. And for others, it will have eternal significance. This is a program you're going to want to share with friends and family, regardless of their political or faith background. I know that many of you who are watching this recognize that we are going through a time of rapid social and technological revolution. There are many positive benefits of these revolutions for humanity, but there's also grave dangers and challenges. For example, by age 13, most minors have viewed graphic pornographic material. Sexual immorality and transgender ideology have been captured by all the institutions in our society and are being spread around not only the Western world, but now the developing world. A growing number of people you would describe as really living lives of practical atheism, especially our younger generations. And faith and religious practice are often absent, or there's a disconnection between people's beliefs or faiths they were raised in and their day-to-day life. At a time when we need the church to be strong, with a strong prophetic voice, speaking to our culture with moral, theological truth, our church has been compromised, unfortunately, because of the scandals and corruptions by a small number of her clergy. So that's why we need to hear this message today from Christine. We could be tempted to think that, where is God in all this? Not only in these larger issues that impact the world right now, and that's in the sense that there's a totalitarian spirit that people are sensing over the years. The pandemic has really reinforced that sense that there's a suppression of information. There's a very sophisticated propaganda controlling people's thinking, particularly our younger folks. And how do we combat that? But at the same time, in your personal life, you may have experienced personal loss, abuse. Perhaps there's an injustice you experience, persecution, an illness, where you're wondering, where is God? And you could be tempted to think that God is distant. He's not involved in your life, and that he's almost like an absentee father. And that's why what Christine Watkins has to share today is so important, because I think she would have a different perspective on that from her work. Let me give you a brief introduction to Christine. She is a licensed social worker. She's a Catholic speaker and an author of many books, including The Warning, Testimonies, and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience. She was formerly an anti-Christian activist, or atheist, I'm sorry, living a life of sin. She began a life of service to the Catholic Church after a miraculous healing from Jesus through Mary, which saved her from death. Before her conversion, she danced professionally with the San Francisco Ballet Company. Today, she has over 20 years of experience as a Catholic speaker, retreat and parish mission leader, a spiritual director and counselor, with 10 years as a hospice grief counselor, and 10 years in ministry to those suffering after abortion loss. And I know she served also for a time in Rachel's Vineyard Ministries. She co-hosts the show Finding Something More, Find Your Way Home on Radio Maria. She's produced and hosted her own show on Shalom World Television and is a frequent guest on radio and television. Christine, I first connected with you after I read your book, The Warning, Testimonies and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience. And it really had a profound effect on me spiritually and otherwise as I read the book. And I did a blog on it, and it was one of my most popular blogs. So I saw that it really touched folks. It really connected with them with a very important message that they needed to hear. And that's why I was very excited and grateful that you're willing to be with us today. Welcome to Oceans of Mercy.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
What is your thought on, I had kind of gave that introduction, a rather dark introduction in some ways, but that sense of people can struggle both in seeing events in the world, particularly in the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years, but particularly in an accelerated way in the last few years with the pandemic, And then maybe other issues they may be struggling in their personal life. Maybe their children are not practicing the faith, and they're concerned about the, you know, their eternal salvation. And so many things are working against couples and families today to live out the faith, because the messages are so strongly in the other direction. So I'm wondering, from your perspective and from your wonderful book, how would you respond to that sense of where is God in this?
Well, the book is called The Warning, Testimonies and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience. And I found the Spanish version on my floor here, El Aviso. And I believe that this book contains a lot of hope for people who are wondering, as you said, where is God in this big mess that seems to be getting messier and messier every day? So what is the warning? What is the illumination of conscience? And that's a huge question. Should I just right off the bat answer what that is?
Yeah, help our viewers understand what you mean by what is the warning, illumination of conscience, and give them a little background on why, how you got involved in learning about that, and the messages that have helped you understand and articulate that message.
So I got involved because I learned about this event that mystics in the church, and some of them approved by the church, some of them the Blessed Mary herself, some of them from Jesus speaking from heaven, said that there would be an event when everyone on earth would see their souls in the light of their sins of omission, things that they should have done and didn't do, and commission, things that they did and shouldn't have done, as a correction of the conscience of the world, as an enlightenment of the fact that we actually do have a conscience. And I myself, as you mentioned in your very dark yet light introduction, was a huge sinner myself. And I sinned so much and so frequently. And my primary sins were the New Age movement involvement and sexual sins, that my conscience was obliterated in some areas. And honestly, the lack of knowledge and love of God and neighbor, and the obliteration of conscience and being fed lies about who we are and what right and wrong is by the media and our societies around the world, is and has caused this current crisis in the world. People don't necessarily understand it as a crisis of faith and morals, but that's exactly what it is. And so God, of course, knows this. God, of course, has not abandoned us. As you say, he's not an absentee father who's saying, you know what, I don't care anymore. You know, these people just got it all wrong. I'm giving up. No, God never gives up, never, ever gives up. He runs after his lost sheep. And because we are lost in general at this time, he's going to do something very, very, very big. And how can I say this with such assurance? I can say it because it's not me who came up with it. I simply researched it and wrote about it. And who are the people who have said that an event, and I will explain exactly what the event is in more detail, who have said that this would happen? Now, if you're an atheist, if you don't have any faith, if you're coming to this broadcast saying, what is this kooky Catholic woman talking about, then I welcome you to think about how is it that all these people I'm about to mention, and there are many more, spoke about the same future event. They're different ages, different times in history, different places in the world, all said the same thing without knowing of one another. So what is the probability that these people would come up and say this event is going to happen and speak of the same event? It's a very low probability. So might it be that they all heard from the same God? So in the book, what I found, and these are the people that I researched, but you know, there are actually many others, and this is primarily mystics in the Catholic Church. We have scripture in Matthew in the book of Revelation mentioning this event. We have a pope declared blessed, Pius IX. We have a priest and martyr, St. Edmund Campion, a nun, mystic, and the apostle of divine mercy, St. Maria Faustina Kowalska. We have a lay mystic and victim soul, Blessed Anna Maria Taiji, a religious superior mystic and exorcist, Father Michelle Rodrigue, a victim soul and founder of the Flame of Love movement in the Universal Church, Elizabeth Kindleman, a priest locutionist and founder of the Marian Movement of Priests, Father Stefano Gobi, a modern-day lay evangelist with a far-reaching Catholic apostolate, Matthew Kelly, a mystic and stigmatist who has received messages with the Church's imprimatur, Luz de Maria de Bonilla, a modern-day stigmatist and visionary supported by Bishop Janie Garza, and Jesus Christ, and the Mother of God themselves through their child visionaries in the 20th century apparition sites of Heed, Germany, which is approved by the Church, and Garabandal, Spain. So that's just a few. What I'm saying is all of these people in different places and different times spoke of this event. It is called the Collective Illumination of Conscience. It is called the Warning. It is called the Pentecost. It is called a new Pentecost, the Great Day of Light. And what do they say will happen? Well, taking what they heard from God, from heaven, in terms of this event, what will happen is in one moment in time, all the light from heaven will be extinguished. So there'll be complete darkness. And then, depending on where you are on earth, day will be brighter than day, or night will be brighter than day. And in the sky will be the cross. On it will be Jesus in his glory on the cross with his wounds. And from the holes in his wounds, rays of light will strike the earth, but most importantly, will pierce every human soul, no matter where they are, no matter their beliefs, no matter their age. Every person in this moment of this illumination of God's light will see themselves interiorly, like a life review. And this is very similar, but not exactly the same as what will happen to every single person on earth, no matter their beliefs, when they die. We all will undergo what's called the particular judgment, where you get a life review of the good and the bad of your whole life. And you are standing in front of truth itself. So in this event, we will be seeing the truth in light, not of all the good we've done, because if we simply see all the great we've done, which is a wonderful thing, and that will happen at the end of our lives, then that would not be a correction of the conscience of the world. We have to see what wasn't so good in order to correct it. It's a merciful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Would you really want to go through the rest of your life not knowing so that there's some darkness in you that you could have gotten rid of, not knowing that there's something you were doing to hurt yourselves and others that you were unaware of that you could stop? This is a grace. This is a mercy. So it is the greatest act of mercy that God has ever done for the world since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Christine?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, because it brought to mind that I agree with you. This event, as you described, is going to be a wonderful act of mercy. But it also strikes me, having been involved, and you as well have been involved in the work of Rachel's Vineyard and other kinds of people who have experienced abuse and trauma, people who have been involved in sinful lifestyles, perhaps the occult, and have no understanding that these things have injured them morally and spiritually. And so I would think at a moment like that it could be also an extremely frightening experience, or is that the right word? Or a painful, maybe painful is the word. What's your thoughts on that? Because I think of so many today have been formed in a way that there's no sense that God is involved intimately in our lives, or that there are standards of morality that we should be abiding by. Like, just that whole concept of it has been so totally eroded. I can see this as being rather, could be very shocking to folks.
Right. So yes, depending upon one's state of soul, meaning whether a person is in a state of grace or a state of what the Catholic Church calls mortal sin. And to be in a state of mortal sin, which means you are on a path away from God, you're cut off from God. As you say, Kevin, many people are in this state or close to it, and completely unaware. To be in a state of mortal sin, you have to have committed sins that are very serious, that are grave. You have to know that they're grave, and you have to have done it with full awareness. So many people on this earth are walking in such a state. They know what they're doing is wrong, but they don't care too much. And so it will be a shock. And so in this moment of a life review where we see our sins, not just our sins, but the consequences of those sins, which is something we don't really think about. If I go to the grocery store and I bite the head off the checker because I'm in a bad mood and I don't like the way she bagged my groceries, she may go home and she may yell at her kid, and her kid may punch the other kid in school, and that kid may come home and scratch their mom, and that mom may divorce her husband. You know, that's not the best scenario, but you can imagine how sin reverberates. Love and truth and grace and God reverberate faster and wider and stronger, but sin does too. And so the incredible moment of this is that we will see all the sins and the consequences of those sins. And the sins that we've confessed in the sacrament of reconciliation will be experienced differently, with much more peace and resignation. The ones we have not confessed and are unrepentant for, those will truly be a shock. And on earthly time, this will last about 5-10 minutes, but every person will be so absorbed in their own unique experience, it will not feel like 10 or 15 minutes earthly time, and everything in the world will stop. And how do we know that God can do this? Because he's God. Because he created the world. You know, if he can walk on water and he can be ascended into heaven and be born into as a baby, he can do anything. So earthly time will stop, but everyone will be completely unaware of anyone else, completely absorbed in their own experience. And as you say, if a person, if they were to die right that at that moment that the warning happens and they were destined for hell, it would be so shocking, because what happens, and I lived close to a hellish existence much of my life, so I can relate to this. There was a sadness, there was a despair, there was a sense of being cut off from life. But what is missing for those of us who would be walking spiritually in hell, as it were, is that we don't feel what it's like to be in hell. In that moment, the person who's in that state of soul will feel what it's like to be in hell. And that is incredibly shocking, to the point where a lot of the mystics say that the shock, the emotional shock of it, would be so harsh and so much that they could die. Now, even in that, which you say is awful, and you're right to say so, God is merciful. God is our judge, but he's also love and mercy itself. So even in the act of dying, Jesus will come to that person and say, would you choose me? Do you choose to say sorry? If so, come with me and everything will be okay. So the wake-up call of that moment will be their salvation as well, because God wants to save everyone. So, but if a person would go to purgatory at that moment, if they would die, yes, there will be sadness. I don't expect to be clicking my heels going through it, assuming that I will in my lifetime. And that's another thing I want to address, is when will this happen? I'm sure a lot of you listening are thinking, well, when? Mm-hmm. That the person going to purgatory will see where it is that they could improve, where it is that they could be more loving, where is it that they could be more forgiving, where is it that they could repent, where is it that they could help the less fortunate, where is it that they could be more like Jesus Christ. And that's a grace. What a wonderful thing to shoot more towards heaven, and that those who are very close to heaven will simply experience it as a grace, as kind of a fine-tuning, a perfecting of their walk towards heaven. So it really depends. The shock factor depends on if we've been going to regular confession, if we're following the church's magisterial teachings, the timeless ones that have come from the apostles through the catechism and scripture. If we're doing that, then we have absolutely nothing to fear. And this is going to be a joyful moment. If we're doing that and we're praying for our children, we're going to be so delighted that finally, after the warning, this is what we're waiting for. Why can't I reach my kids? Why doesn't anyone get it? Why don't people understand? Mm-hmm. Well, this is the moment where there's no one on earth Not one single person in good conscience can say that God does not exist and they don't know what their sins are and that sin does not exist. Everyone will know. So there will be a sweeping movement into the church, a sweeping movement of families talking to another, and an opportunity to believe and understand. Now we will, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, excuse me for interrupting again. It brings to mind to me, and you've been had worked in abortion healing, that yeah. For instance, if a someone that's listening today and has an abortion or some other, you know, is living in some other state of serious sin, and I do really want to hear about the idea of when this might happen, because that is interesting. But in the now, it seems that this is the time to reconcile. This is the time to, if you haven't been to confession in a long time, or if you have not, you've thought about maybe attending a program like Rachel's Vineyard for healing after abortion, or some other program that where you can reconcile with the Lord, but certainly the sacraments, that this is the time to begin to prepare yourself spiritually for the future, would you say?
Incredibly urgent. There is absolutely no time to waste, because things are changing. The churches could close again. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Things are headed in a direction of persecution of the church, which means removal of those things spiritually that give us life, which means we will want to take advantage. There are many people who could be watching this in Australia who can't get to a church or are in lockdowns. That is not your fault. If you can't get to confession right now, you do your best. You try to call somewhere. You use the phone. Or if all else fails, you do what you can and you confess directly to God and you make spiritual communions to do a grand general confession. What is that? You sit down in front of the Eucharist, if you can, with your God, and you go through your whole life in the light of God's teachings. Don't fool yourself. Don't think, oh, it was okay to take birth control. Well, I took artificial birth control for years, which means I potentially conceived of human beings and flushed them down. Okay, it's a very serious sin. In my warning experience, I will likely see the children that I, didn't know that I let live and die through the process of artificial birth control. But there are reasons why the church teaches what it does. There's a huge apostasy from the truth. People say, I'm going to do what I want to do, and the church is wrong without having really studied it and with having gone to some website that speaks against it, listen to the media. No. God is truth. He didn't give the Catholic Church to us from the ages to say, here's what the church says, but it's not exactly right. So you've got to figure out individually on your own right from wrong. What the church says is optional. Why would there be a church if it was all something you just pick and choose, decide? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
There's a rock. Mm-hmm. And the rock did not come to deceive us and say, you figure it out. I'm not really going to tell you. He told us in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, he told us. And if anyone tries to change that, even if someone in the church tries to change that, it doesn't change truth. So base your confession, your general confession, on truth. Get a Catechism of the Catholic Church. I wish I could hold one up. Some people don't know what it is. Catechism of the Catholic Church. Buy one, read it, read scripture, make a good confession. Go through your whole life, because whether we live or die, whether we go through the warning or not, that is one of the best things we could do, because we're free, we're pure, and we'll experience death and we'll experience an illumination of conscience mm-hmm. with more joy and not terrible pain. But the choice is ours. It's not God who gives us the pain. Mm-hmm. It's we who give ourselves the pain. So free yourself of it. And after you do your general confession, go monthly. It just make it part of your spiritual life. It's your stepladder to heaven. Padre Pio, it's his feast day today. He had everyone go once a week. He said, after a week, the room gets dirty, it gets dusty, you have to sweep it. So that was his opinion.
I'm sorry, Christine. We just have a few minutes left. And I want to give an opportunity for folks to to know how they can get a hold of your book, because I think you go into great detail, as you did in the beginning of the program. You outlined all the different mystics and saints that have spoken about this this illumination of conscience and warning, so they can go and read about that, just to kind of reinforce the sense that this is not just some novel idea. This is a very strong and powerful current that we're seeing within mystical visions and messages, but also as well in the tradition of the church and in scripture as well. So let them know where they can get a hold of your book. And in just a few minutes left, do you have a sense that this is something that we can expect to see perhaps in our lifetime? Again, all these things are under God's providence, and we're never going to say, we know the date of such and such. But is your sense that it's something we might see in our lifetime? That would be the final question I have for you as well.
The answer is yes, only because, so the book, The Warning, Testimonies and Prophecies of the Illumination of Conscience, you can go to the website on the screen there, which is www.queenofpeacemedia.com, or you can go to Amazon.com and find it. And basically the book not only contains what the prophets and the mystics have said about it, but these incredible testimonies of people who've already experienced it for themselves. So you get to read these unbelievable stories of what it was like for people to see their sins in the light of God's truth. It's just incredible. And they changed, and they were happier, and they were more free, and they were more joyful, and they were more alive afterwards. And so in He, Germany, in a church-approved apparition, it says it would be soon, right? And that was in the 1940s. And then the latest message, which has received the imprimatur, is Saint Michael speaking to the mystic Lustre Maria. And he says, this is the generation that will experience the great act of divine mercy, the warning. So the message is basically started off saying, yeah, it'll happen pretty soon, mm-hmm. soon, soon, sooner, 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 this generation. That's been the trajectory of the messages.
Well, that's a very hopeful message in many ways. I think it's an there's a sense of, this is what I'm getting kind of from listening to you today, and I hope our viewers do as well. I have a sense that there's an urgency to really attend to our spiritual life. And to, in a sense, kind of begin the process of the illumination of conscience right
yes.
now.
Yes.
That's such a grace and a mercy. So we want to begin that process now. We want to bring healing to any wounds if we have in our lives, abuse or abortion or we've been living sinful lifestyles. Now is the time to begin to make that process of change. Obviously work closely with your priests and spiritual directors and advisors in that process. So there's that urgency, but there's also a sense that God has not abandoned us. God is about to act very powerfully in our world and to manifest His divinity, manifest His providence, His love for the human family, and the fact that He's not going to let us drift too far off course, which will endanger so many souls to be lost. He wants us, He wills our salvation. He loves us more deeply than any earthly father could and desires us to be saved. He's intimately in love with us. And so thank you so much, Christine, for being with us today. I'm so thankful for you taking the time to share your book and your message with our audience. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Well, friends, thanks so much for being with us today on Oceans of Mercy. Remember, if you have an abortion loss in your life, you can go to rachelsvineyard.org. And there's retreats, weekend retreats of spiritual and emotional healing that you can experience and counseling for you as well. God bless you. I hope you get a chance to read Christine's book, The Warning, The Illumination of Conscience. And I hope that you are blessed in every way by this message. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.